Doodle on a Motorcycle recently posted a video about a motorcycle crash that she had experienced back in April of this year.
You're about to see my first crash in 10 years of riding, and I wouldn't know it until days and weeks later, but it's the accident that would halt my riding until I didn't know when.
Her crash was caused by an intense death wobble from the front of the bike she was riding. After watching the video, I had a glaring curiosity. What the hell is that motorcycle she's riding, and why is it not being discussed as a critical component of this crash? Then I noticed she was riding a Janus. Oh boy. First of all, I'd like to extend my sympathies to Doodle. She's a really nice person whom I've met before at an event in Arizona about 5 years ago. I'm glad she fared well from this crash because it didn't look good, all things considered, and I hope she's healed up well. I'm glad Janus Motorcycle's death wobble didn't take out Motorcycle YouTube's most beloved parasocial granddaughter. Now look, modern motorcycles are very safe, at least compared to their primitive ancestors. They have dialed in chassis and suspension components that, in many ways, have made the death wobble nearly extinct, except for extreme instances or mechanical failures. Doodle certainly isn't known to do triple-digit wheelies on the interstate where one could set the wheel back down off-kilter and incite a crash-inducing speed wobble, which, from my anecdotal experience, is one of the more common causes of severe wobbles on modern motorcycles. The crash investigators cited in the video deemed it a perfect storm of circumstances that led to the crash. But I'm of the belief, as are many members of the community, that if she had been riding literally any other motorcycle, this perfect storm would have been entirely inconsequential. Doodle is an experienced rider. She's created content spanning everything from cross-country adventures to specialized training courses, and based on her experience and the degree in which she approaches the sport with responsibility and safety, this should not have happened. I think Doodle's crash has shown us that Janus's motorcycles aren't just an expensive novelty for old men who collect model trains. They might genuinely be unsafe. Let's get into this deep dive. If I am to believe that Janus's archaic design, cheap components, and emphasis on aesthetics before functionality are to blame for Doodle's death wobble crash, we must first take a quick look into the science of a high-speed steering oscillation, as the lab coats might call it. A death wobble is a rapid side-to-side oscillation of the motorcycle's front end, mainly the handlebar and front wheel, that happens at high speeds. The science tells me that the speed of the wobble becomes deadly at 4 to 10 hertz. Now, I don't speak Poindexter, but I think we can all picture the speed where a regular wobble becomes a death wobble. These oscillations come from what's called a resonance phenomenon. Motorcycles are weird. They're special and awesome, but they are also definitely weird in terms of the physics that govern them. There are so many forces acting on a bike at all times. The force of gravity pulling down on them, the rotational gyroscopic forces that come from both wheels and the engine's crankshaft. There's unsprung weight, suspension damping, spring rates, the steering rake angle, and more elements that all work in conjunction to keep a motorcycle upright and in control. Even across varying road conditions, changing lean angles, bumps, or steep inclines or descents, and when this balance is disrupted, a wobble can occur. The bike's steering assembly acts like an underdamped system. When disturbed by a bump or misalignment or sudden acceleration, there is not enough damping to absorb that energy and the system starts to oscillate. It can often happen as a feedback loop where the oscillations continue and increase in intensity the longer they go on, until the rider ultimately loses control completely and ends up going down. Dunlop actually did an amazing practical investigation in the 1970s looking into the cause of death wobbles, filming and testing the phenomenon in controlled runs. Their goal was to break the problem down into measurable pieces, including what causes the wobble, what part of the bikes respond, and what fixes actually reduce the oscillation. They determined the factors that induced speed wobbles were tires, including the size, profile, tread pattern, and PSI, fork rigidity or flex, weight distribution, frame geometry, and worn or loose components. Now, keep in mind, this was 50 years ago, and in that time, the science has become further studied, and motorcycles have become even more purposefully designed, with special consideration paid to the nuances of suspension components and frame geometry. As a result, they are now more stable and predictable than ever. But that must not be the case for Janice, because what crash investigators determined to be a perfect storm of contributing factors are all circumstances that should in no way cause such a catastrophic wobble on a modern bike. Motorcycle engineers have been at this for decades, and they've pretty much bred these wobble-causing problems out of the gene pool. The crash investigators' explanation of Doodle's death wobble are as follows. 1. Reduced front tire load at critical moment while at top speed being 60 miles per hour, FYI. Slightly accelerating, I don't know how she can be accelerating if she's already at the top speed, shifting weight rearward and lightening the contact patch at the front. So the first cause of the wobble was accelerating at 60 miles an hour. If a motorcycle can't accelerate at 60 miles an hour without significant ramifications, that's not safe for public roads. The second cause was stated as being a lighter than average rider on a lighter than average bike. The Halcyon 250, the bike that Doodle was riding, has a claimed dry weight of 263 pounds and got a death wobble at 60 miles an hour. The Husqvarna FE501, a motorcycle I've actually owned before, has a dry weight of 244 pounds and it can go 100 miles an hour. I've done it. Hell, even the Ducati MotoGP bike weighs just 346 pounds and will go over 200 miles an hour. My point is, it's not the lightweight nature of the bike. It's the fact that it's clearly poorly designed and not safe if it can't go 60 without wobbling. The third cause stated by the investigator was tire tread design matching the width of the bridge's grooves, creating a lock-in effect similar to getting stuck in a railroad track. Well, a groove pavement sucks. We have a bunch of it here in Austin. I don't like riding on it, but that's why tire manufacturers don't sell tires with a flat profile and straight vertical grooves, because it's not 1966. The final reason was stated as being the raised bridge deck surface causing further front end lightening and unsettlement. So again, the Halcyon 250 cannot go 60 miles an hour over a bump in the road without ejecting its driver? When you sit back and think about it, it is really clear that the cause was not about rider error or failure to react to an initial oscillation properly, and it's certainly not a conversation about the importance of wearing rider gear because you never know when you're gonna go down. It's the bike that's to blame. People must ride motorcycles on that bridge every day in the peak riding season. And I guarantee you that anybody riding a Honda, a Yamaha, Harley Davidson, a Ducati, hell, even a goddamn Chinese Boom BD250 on that road does not enter a death wobble because they cross the bridge at 60 miles an hour. Wobbles are caused by poor suspension, poor frame and suspension geometry, poor weight distribution, or poor or misaligned components, all of which can be found on the Halcyon 250. Remember, Doodle wasn't riding on some random person's crusty cafe racer project with modified geometry, with the triple trees slammed down onto the fork tubes that are all leaking. This was a factory Janus that was in stock form, and as far as I can tell, was brand spanking new. Yet this bike is as unstable, unpredictable, and almost neglected like an old UJM bike from the 70s. Honestly, maybe it's even worse. The Halcyon 250 has no rear suspension. In the front, it uses an old-timey leading link type front fork, which is essentially two rear shocks and a U-shaped swing arm in place of a normal telescopic fork. I reached out to the Janus team with some questions about their components, and while they did say they used leading link forks, they also said they're known as Earl's forks, which, while similar, are not the same. The Earl's fork having its pivot point entirely behind the wheel and having its springs enclosed in a tube. The differences can be seen in these two images here. The Leading Link fork, but more specifically the Earl's fork, is a kind of archaic version of BMW's telelever suspension, which is ironic because the last time a Leading Link fork was used on a street motorcycle, it was on a BMW in the 1960s. When in conversation with Janus's team, I was also made aware that the Janus founder is the one that designed the frames. Now look, I'm not gonna put him on blast, but let's just say I found his LinkedIn profile and mechanical engineering or anything related to automotive design is not on his resume. I was also told that the tires sold on the bike are safe for road use, but was not offered much other information. Look, it's one thing to design and sell overpriced retro bikes based solely on aesthetics over function. But they gotta fucking work, man. Leave it to the wonderful world of free enterprise to just allow a guy, just any old guy, to be able to build and sell motorcycles that are not anywhere near close to modern safety standards. And then people are registering them and riding them on the street? That's crazy. Aren't there like standards that need to be met? Testing? Nothing? This sport is dangerous enough as is. Allowing people to ride a Janus while under the assumption it should behave similarly to any other motorcycle should probably be illegal. Motorcycles weren't safe in the early 1900s. They were rickety, unstable, and unpredictable, especially at high speeds. Why would Janus want to replicate that? For purity? Janus says their motorcycles are for, and I quote, riders who are looking for a machine that is designed for the kind of riding we love to do most. County road joyrides, zipping through the city, windy roads, and riding a bike at its limit without risking life and limb. Oh boy. Doodle's video showed us two things. One, that a Janus's limits are far lower than they'd expected it to be. Just to be able to ride at reasonable speeds on public roads, you must be riding at the Halcyon's limits. And secondly, it showed us that riding a Janus at its limits is far more dangerous than riding any other motorcycle made in the modern era. Give me a backyard turbo Busa any day over a Janus in terms of safety. A Grom will top out at 55 miles per hour, 62 if you're going down a good downhill. But it doesn't death wobble and throw you to the ground when it gets there. And look, you guys might all be saying now, oh my god, here we go again, Yams just being a hater, punching down on poor old Janus. But there's many people in the community that are having a similar reaction to Doodle's video. Once you scroll past the at-gat glazing, the mansplainers talking about everything Doodle could have done differently to stop the wobble, and the boomers calling her by her first name, offering their thoughts and prayers, you'll see plenty of people who have arrived to the same conclusion that I did. It's the bike that's to blame. I kind of felt like I was going crazy when I watched the video and I scrolled the comments and nobody was talking about this motorcycle, but I did find some people saying some things. Aviation Stuff said, doing a Google search, I found this, quote, the best feature of Janus's motorcycles as marketed by the company is its extremely lightweight build thanks to the use of aircraft-grade chromoly steel frame. As any engineer knows, strength is not the same as stiffness. Chromoly steel is strong, which means it can withstand a lot of force before it yields. However, the stiffness, modulus of elasticity, of chromoly is the same as any other steel alloy for all practical purposes. Simply put, this means that a frame made of standard steel will be heavy and stiff, while a frame made of chromoly will be light and flexible, considering that they are both designed to handle the same forces. The thing is, flexibility of the frame is not a good thing. Wow, it really means something when a random engineer watching YouTube understands more about frame material and manufacturing than the ones that are building motorcycles from scratch in Goshen, Indiana. James Hill 8498 said, I saw a Janus video earlier this summer and the rider complained of the bike's tendency to speed wobble. Apparently, it's not just you having that issue. To which Gas Dive replied, I'm old enough that I remember when most bikes had frames like this. We had steering dampers because frames like this flex in time with the front wheel. That's just how they were. If you build close copies of old bikes, you get old bike problems. 1234567 Marks said, whilst the crash investigators' comments make a lot of sense, I'd also question the inherent stability of that motorcycle. I'd suggest that a major driver in its design was aesthetics. I doubt much science went into raker steering head angles and the like. And lastly, Tom Abb said plainly, don't get back on that bike. The excuses you got for the death wobble make little to no sense. There's something wrong with that machine. We've even seen some feedback from Janus owners huffing the finest grade copium that Indiana has to offer. Uncle Voodoo on YouTube released a video discussing Doodle's Janus crash, and unless I'm not fluent in Midwestern boomer, it really seemed like he was saying it had much to do with rider error and that Doodle didn't know how to ride a machine of that style with its inherent quirks. He mentions her speed, implying that 60 in a 55 is too damn fast. You gotta be kidding me. She was also too aggressive with the clutch on a bike that makes 10 horsepower. And she was, of course, too small and lightweight to balance out the weight distribution of the machine. Look, if there's this many caveats that need to be satisfied to ride a Janus without dying, why the hell do they cost so much f***ing money? Also, she was on a ride with the owner of Janus when they went down. If there's a special way that you need to ride a Janus safely, you'd think the owner of the damn company would have clued her in beforehand. Look, we're all glad Doodle is okay. You really never want to see another rider go down like that, especially in such a silly, senseless way. This wouldn't happen on any other bike. Not only do you have to endure injury and rehabilitation, but for a motorcycle content creator, it can also mean a loss of income. Everything about that just sucks, and we do wish her the best here on Yami Noob. During situations like a motorcycle crash, there is often room for discussions about the importance of riding gear or ways to mitigate risk during unforeseen circumstances, or even the prohibitive cost of medical care in the United States. But that wasn't the takeaway I got from her video. We've called out Janus multiple times over the year for being grifters, a gimmick, or just a poor value proposition. But now we've seen firsthand that they're likely pretty unsafe too. Embracing outdated designs for the sake of novelty without consideration for the fact that there is a reason no one makes motorcycles like that anymore is borderline reckless. Thanks for making it to the end of the video. I appreciate your time today. Let me know in the comments down below what you think of this situation. While it might result in some backlash, I felt like this was an important video to make because honestly, nobody was talking about this, and I do think it was a great point to bring up. Thanks for watching. I'll catch you guys in the next one.